Scripture today is found in Judges chapter 16, verses 18 through 21. Then Delilah realized he had told her everything in his heart. So she sent and called for the Philistine Lord, saying, "Come up this once, because he has told me everything in his heart." Then the Philistine lords came up to her and brought the money they had promised in their hands. She made Samson sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 braids of his head. Then she began to abuse Samson, and his strength left him. She said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as I have time after time and shake myself free." For Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with 2 bronze chains, and he was forced to be a grinder of grain in the flour at the meal in the prison. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us. Lord, for your grace and your mercy that you have given to each and us. Lord, I pray today, Father, for your blessings upon those who are hearing this word. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts, that we would hear, God, what you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that you would speak into our minds and into our spirits, God, all the things that you would have us to know. We pray, Lord, for those today that are sick. Lord, we pray, Lord, particularly for those that are being infected by the coronavirus. God, we pray for your healing hand. We pray, God, for your deliverance. We pray, God, for your help. Lord, I pray today that as we share this word together, I ask you, O God, for your touch. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would enable my mind and enable my lips, O God, to speak your word and to speak what you would have for us to hear in this time, Lord. We're going to ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've learned over the last few weeks about the power of God that has been made available. We've heard it through the gospel, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prayer, the word, and a surrendered life. We have been given access to the power of God. Now, having access to the power of God is not the same as having the power of God. You could have a car with a powerful motor, but the transmission's missing or is not engaged. You're not going anywhere. Many Christians have access to the power of God, but fail to allow it to work through their lives. Others have a history of having the power of God working in their lives, but no longer experience the flow of His power. And far too many congregations gather on a Sunday morning with no evidence of the power of God being present. Please understand, this is not meant to be condemning, but to challenge us not to settle for human gatherings that leaves out the power of God. The question then arises, what is the evidence of the power of God present in us as individuals and collectively? Well, it's really simple. It's not subjective. It's not a feeling. It's measurable and definitive. As we've read in Scripture, each gift of power produces results. When the gospel is preached, we're convicted of our sins. We're convinced of our need, and we're compelled to respond. When we pray in the name of Jesus, heaven hears and answers come. When we are covered and washed in the blood of Jesus, the power of sin is broken. We cease to chase the things of the world, and we are released to serve the Lord with clean hearts. When we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have boldness to witness the transforming power of God. We have power to do the work of Jesus, including binding the works of Satan, believing that Christ heals the sick through our faith, and that those trapped in the power of sin are made free through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. When we engage in prayer, we see what is asked being given. We see things change, or perhaps us changing. We engage in warfare on the behalf of others and see the power of Satan broken and experience the kingdom of God among us. When we have a surrendered life, we give up our will and our rights, and we no longer say, "This is what I'm going to do," but instead we ask God, "God, what would you have me to do?" When the power of God is present and at work in a church, the believers are being sanctified, the lost are being found, the blind are receiving their sight, the bound are being set free, and we're changing and becoming more like Christ. When the power of God is present, worship is free and expressive, and in awe, the presence of God is evident. When the power of God is present in a church, the community can no longer ignore that church. That church will make an impression on its world, not just a social impression, but a spiritual impression. Our story today is one of those sad ones in the Bible. Samson began well. In the previous verses, we find that the angel of the Lord, The Old Testament description of Jesus appeared to a childless couple. And he made known to them that they were going to have a child, and that child was given to rescue Israel from the Philistines, who represent the world in satanic power that's always trying to oppress and put in bondage to the people of God. Chapter 13, verse 24 and 25 records these words. So the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. And the boy grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him at times. Samson began well, but something happened. Scriptures say that he went to the cities of the Philistines, and he saw a Philistine woman and desired her. And they got married, and she betrayed him. Later, Samson fell in love with Delilah, and the same thing happens. And the worst, most disturbing words are these. For Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. It would be easy to leave this as a Bible story. We might even feel pity for Samson or disgust or perhaps condemnation. But I believe God wants us to see more than just a story. I believe he wants us to learn from this story. So what's our lesson? I've observed in my own life and others that it's easy to trust in past experiences. There's a story that's being told of a couple that went to a counselor, and the woman said to the counselor, well, we're not quite as close as we used to be. And the husband replied, I'm still sitting in the driver's seat. You're the person that moved. And so sometimes it's easy for us to move away from God. It's easy to fall into the trap of going through the motions. Standing in the surf, if you've ever been down to the beach, you know that as you're standing down on the seashore and the waves and the water's coming up around your feet, it's not very long before you find that the sand is being eroded from under your feet and you find yourself sinking and sinking. And finally, as the sand is replaced, you find yourself being buried in the sand. And I suppose if you stood there long enough, eventually you would be totally, completely buried. I don't know. But it's easy to take God for granted. It's easy to put him on the shelf for emergency. It's easy to allow the devil to rock us to sleep. And how often do we just drift along, not aware that we always drift downstream? How many churches and people are dying from just going along week after week with no sinners being saved, no backsliders returning? Samson was asleep and was not aware that his power was gone. Let's go back and look at that story just for a moment. The Bible tells us that several times Delilah had come to Samson and asked for what was the secret of his power. If you know something about the story of Samson, Samson was a mighty warrior. And Samson would be moved upon by God. And Israel at that time was under Philistine bondage. And the Philistines were very cruel and very, very vindictive. And Samson was basically the only person that was standing in their way in the destruction of the entire nation of Israel. And so the Philistines saw him as an enemy. And so as Samson and Delilah got married, one of the things that happened was the Philistines, because Delilah was a Philistine, the Philistines paid her some money and said, listen, we want you to find out for us the secret of his power. And several times she would ask him, and Samson would tell her all kind of stories. One time he said to her, well, if they bind me with 7 fresh cords, that I'll be weak like any other man. And so the Philistine lords brought up 7 fresh cords and gave them to Delilah, and she bound him with them, and then they gathered around him to ambush him, and the Bible says that the Philistines made their presence known, and Samson broke the cords, and the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then he told her, he said, well, if you bind me with new ropes that's not been used, I'll become weak. And so she took the new ropes, and she bound him with them. And once again, he snapped the ropes off in his arms, and Delilah said to Samson, you've not been truthful to me. And then he said to her, well, if you weave the 7 braids of my hair with a web and fasten with a pin, I'll become weak. So he went to sleep, and Delilah wove the 7 locks and made the web and fashioned it with a pin. And he woke up and pulled the pin out of the weaver's loom and the web, and then she started asking him and begging him and pleading him, and finally he tells her the secret. He says, if you cut my hair, then I'll lose my strength. The reason for that is Samson had made a vow before God. As he was dedicated to God, brought before God for the act of dedication, he had to make 2 commitments. One was that he would never cut his hair, and the second one was that he would never drink wine. And so we see how Satan works and how he comes to deceive us and how he comes to draw us away. And even though God has given us these incredible things of power, let's go back and look at them just for a brief moment. So the first thing that we were told was that God had given us the power of the gospel. And yet if we choose not to listen or not to respond to the power of gospel, then Satan comes along and the first thing he says to us is, hey, you know what? That's not a real story. That's not truth. That's just somebody's imagination. And then we've been given the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And once again, Satan will say to us, that's not enough. We have to add some work to that, or we have to add some kind of ritual to that. And we can go on and on through all of these things. But the final one that I really want to talk to you about is this idea of the surrendered life. Samson had lived a surrendered life somewhat. But if you read through his story, you'll find that repeatedly, over and over and over again, Samson would go and do the very things that he had committed to God that he would not do. And so Satan came and just like he does with us, and the whole deal is he wants to get us to make our own decisions and live our own lives and live our own way. So let me sum up today with four things. First of all, it's not enough to start well. We have to finish well. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And so there is this idea that the Bible teaches of that we run a race. And it's not just running the race, but it's finishing the race. And I want you to know in my own life, I found quite often Satan will come and say, hey, you know what? You're tired. Why don't you sit down for a while? Why don't you rest for a while? Stop pursuing this God thing. Stop taking the time to pray. Stop taking the time to read the Word. Stop taking the time to spend time in the presence of God. Second of all, the devil knows our weaknesses. Oh, we could talk hours on that subject. But, you know, you and I we belonged to the devil before we got saved. And he knows everything that tempted us. He knows everything that we used to enjoy when we were still living in the world. He knows what he used to offer us that we used to buy into or that we used to be part of. And so just because we become Christians doesn't mean that Satan has gone away. But Satan knows our weaknesses. In Samson's case, Satan knew that Samson had this weakness for women. And so he used a woman or several women, actually, in order to get the power of Satan of Samson broken. See, that's the whole idea. The third thing that we have to know is our only hope and our help is in the Lord. We don't have any strength, any power in our own ability. We don't have the ability to resist temptation. We certainly don't have the ability to do the things of God. And we certainly don't have the ability to stand against the powers of darkness. But God has given to us this great thing that's called our help and our hope that's in the Lord. As a matter of fact, God said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. So you and I can know today that whatever's going on in our lives, that God is with us and that God's presence will always be with us. Fourth and finally, let me say that we must continually seek the power and the presence of God. That once a long time ago isn't enough. For the devil doesn't try to lead us astray once and quit. As we all know, temptations come every day. Struggles come every day. Challenges come every day. And just as Satan is not willing to try once and quit, neither can we be willing just to have an experience with God once a long time ago without realizing that we've lost our power and that we've lost the things that God has placed into us. So this morning, I just want to call you to awake. I want to call us to awake, to shake ourselves and to be aware of the situation around us in our own lives and in this world and certainly in the spirit realm. Realize that we are in a world that is filled with all kind of ugly, all kinds of sins, all kinds of temptations, all kinds of struggles. Realizing that we're in a spiritual warfare against powers and principalities. And to know that our only hope is to return to the pursuit of the presence and the power of God. So I'd invite you today, if you are listening to this word and you would acknowledge, God, you know, I used to be more faithful than I am now. God, I used to be more committed to you than I am now. God, I used to pray more than I'm praying now. God, I used to read the Word more than I'm reading the Word now. God, I used to feel your presence more than I'm feeling your presence now. I want to encourage you today just to take a moment and say, God, I want to recommit my life. I want a fresh start. I want to shake myself and arise from this place of sleep And I want to become the man and the woman of God that you've called me to be. Would you pray with me today as we come to the conclusion of this service? Father, we just ask you today that you will remind us of the great love that redeemed us. Oh God, that you will remind us of where you brought us from. Help us to remember that day, oh God, when we were stumbling along in the darkness, when we were in all kind of bondage to all kinds of sins. God, help us to remember that day that you put your hand upon us, that you spoke to our heart, and that you lifted us up out of the pits of sin, oh God, and you put our feet on solid ground. God, remind us of those times that you have walked with us. Remind us, oh God, of those times that you have kept us from the evil one. Remind us, oh God, of those times that when we have fallen, that you picked us up. Remind us, oh God, of those times that we have felt your presence in a powerful way. And, oh God, give us a heart to be renewed. Give us a heart to be restored. Give us a heart, oh God, to turn back to you with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our strength, that we may worship you fully. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.